In 1972, Ellen Peck's New York Times editorial pronounced the death of motherhood. Though birth rates in many Western nations are lower today than they were then, our growing global population suggests the pronouncement was premature. The institution of motherhood has certainly changed since the 1970s, but it is still very much alive and kicking. Peck, co-founder of the National Organization for Non-Parents, was part of a new movement dedicated to raising awareness about parenthood as a choice, and in particular about non-parenthood as a reasonable and viable alternative that adults could and should consider making. Emerging during the contested realm of reproductive politics in the 1970s, child-free activism represented the nexus of identity politics and environmental activism. The child-free movement called into question the assumption that life without children lacked purpose. As birth control options expanded and improved, more and more women were free to choose whether, when, how, and to how many children they would become mothers. This new freedom created a consciousness about parenthood as a choice rather than destiny. With that new consciousness came the emergence of a child-free movement, a grassroots effort to educate the public about non-parenthood as a legitimate life choice, raise awareness about the problems associated with overpopulation, and advocate for those who made the choice to be child-free. When the National Organization for Non-Parents, NON, launched in 1972, authors in Time wrote with disdain about its founding, dismissing its frequently childish espousal of childlessness as rather juvenile. The magazine has since changed its tune. In its 2013 cover story about the child-free life, None is Enough, author Lauren Sandler wrote that child-free women are inventing a new female archetype, one for whom having it all doesn't mean having a baby. But while that may be the case, and we may be more accepting of the choice now than in the past, not having a baby still often means being dismissed as childish and juvenile. Women in particular are told that parenthood is their destiny, motherhood their most important role. And women and men both are told that a primary, if not the primary, purpose of their unions is to procreate. Ellen Peck's obituary for motherhood came at a time when many people and movements were questioning existing social arrangements and power structures. But to question motherhood was to attack a noble institution, one whose purpose was to rear and protect the most precious of blessings. Blessed are the children. Religion is among the strongest forces driving us to believe it is both our purpose and our duty to reproduce. Encouraging the proliferation of loyal followers ensures the continuation of the church. In the Catholic faith, in particular, followers are taught that marriage is primarily procreative. But the tenet that followers should be fruitful and multiply can be found across a wide set of religious traditions and beliefs. Sociologist Tanya Korapeki-Cox and colleagues found that the more conservative a person's beliefs about the Bible, in particular, the more one views the Bible as the literal word of God, the greater the likelihood that person will report a low approval of childlessness. Among the religious categories Korapeki-Cox examined, Baptist, Catholic, Jewish, Fundamentalist Protestant, No Religion, and other Protestants, Baptists and those of Jewish faith were least likely to accept childlessness. Contraception and abortion are taboo in most religious traditions, as is sexual intercourse that is not considered unitive and procreative. This is likely the reason that child-free people who report that religion is important to them are significantly more likely than the non-religious to report feeling stigmatized for their choice not to have kids. In the words of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, when couples readily treat, as separate choices, the decisions to get married and to have children, this indicates a mentality in which children are seen not as integral to a marriage, but as optional. Other religious organizations, too, assert that the purpose of marriage is children, though with varying degrees of tolerance for the possibility that sex may not always be procreative. As sociologist Mary Hunt observed, the evangelical mindset differs from the Catholics in that sexual acts within a heterosexual marriage, which are pleasurable, yet without the goal of procreation, are permissible as long as the couple is willing to accept the potential fruit of their love, meaning they must be open to the possibility of children. Theologian Christina Ricci traces these teachings back to Augustinian sexual ethics, in which children are the ultimate goal of marriage, and intercourse is deemed sinful if it is engaged in for pleasure rather than procreation.